Jacinta, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Oliver.
Thank you for your time today. Now, in the Brighton incident, we've seen a lone wolf attack, which does not appear to be a direction directly from a terrorist organisation like IS or Al-Qaeda, but the gunman was still looking for some sort of notoriety, some sort of acknowledgement and affiliation from a terrorist organisation.
Yes, he was. And as you've described, this is a person with a very serious and long-standing criminal history. So it's very likely from that he was going to continue to offend. The issue we have with IS, and also other terrorist groups, Al-Qaeda and others, is that there's a very well-known and pervasive ideology that says you can come along with us and we justify you undertaking any of these criminal acts. We'll celebrate you. Their particular ideology also says that you'll be redeemed for all your past sins. And on the other side of it, it means that it provides a justification for anyone to commit murder, criminal acts. IS has also recently called for its followers to undertake robberies in its name, although it's an indicator of how badly things are going for them, because they said you can do it as long as you send us a portion of the proceeds.
Well, I mean, IS would basically claim responsibility for a cyclone or an earthquake if they could. So this can...
Absolutely.
Can it really be validated? Why do they want to claim it after the event? Or is it just, in this person's case, just an excuse to be able to carry something out in some vain name?
Yeah, well, they're using that motivation, so they're tapping into criminality and also into anyone who is an adherent or a follower of their view to be able to pursue their intention. And their aim is, of course, notoriety, to spread the word, propaganda, and to look better. The interesting thing in this case, of course, is that Kyrie's reported to have declared his action in the name of both IS and Al-Qaeda, who, of course, are fighting each other. It's IS who have said that they'll claim his attack in their name. Look, they've changed the way terrorists take claim and responsibility for attacks. We're all used to the traditional form. If you think of the IRA taking claim for an attack, Ananda Marga, the Tamil Tigers, the Basque separatists, traditionally that's because they were operating in their country, trying to achieve through violence a political means. So they do something and then say, that was us. If you don't do it, we'll do it again. It's a very different thing to really just outsource something and say, look, anything you do, as long as it's vaguely with us, it just brings our name to the fore. So it really has changed the game. There's no indicator at all, and Shane Patton from Victoria Police has just had another media conference saying, look, they haven't seen anything to date that suggests that Kyrie was linked in with any other particular groups, that there's any other form of attack. So it's working in terms of giving IS notoriety for them to claim the attacks, but it really doesn't mean anything that much about their actual capability.
Yes, and that would be the point here as well, Jacinta Carroll, is that regardless of the situation, whether it now has some sort of link to IS or Al-Qaeda, and that's what the individual wants us to think as he goes out, it is probably no different than somebody committing a siege in a similar circumstance that is not terror-related, that is not got anything to do with IS or Al-Qaeda, that we will have, as I said, some brainwashed, unhinged people in the world who are going to take somebody hostage and have a siege, unfortunately, but in this case, on the way out, trying to raise the profile here of ISIS or trying to raise the profile of Al-Qaeda and basically try and make the community scared.
That's exactly it. And in the case of Kyrie, of course, he has some notoriety. He was involved in that Holsworthy terror plot, although he was acquitted. His name is out there. You look at a case like Manharon Monis and the Sydney siege. Look, he had no background of involvement with terrorist organisations. He was a non-practising Muslim who was from the wrong sect. He was Shia, not Sunni. So, but still, IS took the credit for it because it happened. But really interestingly, they've been making a lot of mistakes on their propaganda lately. They took credit for the attack in Manila, which the Filipino police said, no, it wasn't. When they've talked about other successful attacks, the murder of the French police officer on the Champs-Élysées, they got the names wrong. So they're making a lot of mistakes lately, and that's an interesting indicator of the impact that the military campaign in the Middle East is having. The Americans and others have been targeting the IS propagandists out of Raqqa.
Mm.
And they've destroyed a lot of that. Their propaganda isn't looking so slick. Their magazines are full of mistakes and not so good. So they really are, if you like, seeking to just grasp hold of any incident without doing the sorts of checks they used to.
And do you see that this so-called lone wolf attack will have more and more instances of people trying to commit such crimes and then on their way out, as I say, that they claim that they're part of a terrorist organisation?
Well, look, that's certainly what the authorities say. That's what the experts have been telling us. Duncan Lewis, the head of ASIO, Andrew Colvin, the head of the AFP, and all of the state police commissioners have said this low-level single actor or a small group like we saw in London, that's the most likely form of attack. There's some interesting reasons for it, and some of them are actually good. It means that they're feeling the heat in the Middle East and other areas where the groups aren't getting the successes that they used to have. IS, for example, used to devote its online magazines to how fantastic things were in the caliphate, and of course that so-called caliphate just doesn't exist anymore, so they can't look to that. One of the other things that this has come from, of course, is that our stadiums, our airports and so on are all hardened. Australians have had to adapt to many more security measures. You know, when we go to the cricket or we go to the football or something, then we know that there's security and that's okay. That means that many of these sites have been off limits as targets, government buildings and so on. So they're looking for where there isn't a hardened place, and that's public areas. There is some really good work happening in this space, though, in Australia, and you might recall that the PM announced just last year, as a result of a review of the impact of the Nice attack, that truck attack, that Australia would be reviewing and revising its guidelines on mass gathering protection from terrorists and putting together a national strategy for that. So that's being worked on at the moment.
Jacinta Carroll, thank you very much for your time this afternoon on Perth Live.
My pleasure, Oliver.
That is the head of Counterterrorism Policy Centre at the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, Jacinta Carroll.